Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Several months back, I saw a social media post where it was claimed there was archaeological evidence that supported the biblical account of Joseph. And whenever I see anything like that, my first thought is that it is wonderful to see evidence supporting what is told in the Bible. However, as I read deeper into the attached news story, I came to realize no evidence was actually being presented. And when I further tried to research what archaeological evidence there was that supported the biblical account of Joseph, I could find no evidence in any source. In fact, aside from that one social media post and the linked article, I could find nothing similar to it anywhere. As exciting as it would be to have archaeological evidence confirming what is in the Bible, this made me think if we really need any type of external confirmation about what is in the Bible. On the one hand, we are told we need to live by faith, while also being told to prove all things. What I have learned in today's social media world and the plethora of news sources, it's as important today as it has always been to prove all things. There is this old saying that if something is too good to be true, it probably is. And social media, we live in a bubble world where what is presented to us is aligned to what we follow and is unlike a newspaper or newscast which provides the same information to whoever is reading or watching. In social media, the information presented to a person is crafted to match that person's interests and preferences and may not reflect the urgency or truth of what is actually happening. Social media is also a great place for false information to be shared. It's too easy for somebody to create and share false news. If there is a politician out there that you like or dislike, you can find social media posts supporting and bashing that politician. And some of those social media posts will be based on false information. Some of the falsities will be shadows of truth, where a carefully crafted truth is inserted, and other falsities will be completely manufactured. The best recommendation I can offer is to fact-check anything that is presented on social media. News stories can be invented, and people can even impersonate other people. Always be cautious on social media. Just a few decades ago, there was no social media as we know it today. And before this time, people relied on print and broadcast media to get news. Going back thousands of years ago, in a time before the printing press, it wasn't so much print media, but scribe media, where text would be copied verbatim. And then there was word of mouth. Imagine living in a time when there was no social media. No print or broadcast media, no books, where only the very rich and powerful elite could afford to have any level of knowledge and understanding. Things written down would have been the exception and not the rule. We come to the person of Moses in the Bible, who, when living in Midian, came across the burning bush, and when he asked God's name, was told the name to use was, "I am that I am, that I am," had sent Moses to Israel. In addition to providing his name, God also told Moses that there would be resistance from Pharaoh in letting Israel leave Egypt, that God would intervene with wonders to move Pharaoh to let Israel go, and that when Israel left Egypt, Egypt would give Israel whatever they wanted just so they could leave. Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go, and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. From the Bible, we know everything God said would happen, did happen. Eventually, Israel turned from God as if what had happened to them in the Exodus was something they did for themselves. There is no direct evidence and sources outside of the Bible putting Israel in Egypt or supporting the Exodus, though there are words used in the Bible that suggest some knowledge or involvement of Egypt during this time. Think about it from the perspective of a proud and powerful ruler who controlled what was recorded for posterity. The Pharaoh would likely only record what was favorable to his reign, much like politicians today try to put a positive spin on whatever happens. The complete defeat at the hand of the God of Israel would be something easier to omit from the historical record than try to explain it. There are some who will look to what is in the Bible and will accept through faith what is recorded, and there are others who must first have evidence before they believe. In Hebrews, we are told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that without faith it is impossible to please God, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is something we have without evidence. If we have faith, we do not need direct or indirect evidence to validate faith. Because if we have evidence that something is true, for that there is then no reason for faith. We live in a world that is very big on evidence. In criminal cases, nobody is convicted of a crime because the jurors have faith in the prosecution. Jurors look to the evidence, either actual or circumstantial, to see if guilt can be determined. And in the United States, the standard for a guilty verdict on crimes is beyond a reasonable doubt. When medical treatments are developed, medical trials are used to establish evidence to determine if the medical treatment works or not. For those seeking to borrow money, especially to buy a home, the mortgage company looks to the evidence of the borrower's financial history, what they earn and what they owe to establish if the loan can be approved. Many people hired for a job go through a background check process. And for those who work with more vulnerable people like primary and secondary school-age children or the sick and infirmed, that background check process is even more intense. That background check examines the evidence to determine if a person is suitable to be hired or not, and in some locations, governments maintain a do not hire registry where if a person is on that list, evidence has already been established that a person is not suitable for employment because of established prior offenses. So much of what we do in life is based on evidence. We test drive cars before buying, and before buying any big ticket item, we tend to look for the best deal for buying. When we get something from the refrigerator to eat or cook, if it looks or smells bad, we throw it away because we look for evidence. In most parts of life, people do not live by faith. They live by evidence. And we are called to a life of faith as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Jesus once asked a rhetorical question, wanting to understand when he returned if he really would find faith on earth. And that should tell us that in our world, in just about every aspect of life, for most people, evidence trumps faith. But for us, faith must trump everything. Luke 18, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? We know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that without faith it is impossible to please God, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then Paul told the Thessalonians to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Was Paul writing that only those things which could be established with evidence should be believed and held on to? Knowing that the biblical definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, was Paul contradicting faith or suggesting that there was no need for faith? Here is what we know about faith. The biblical definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so from that, we can understand that where faith exists, there is no need for evidence. Those who have faith believe without evidence and are blessed for it. What did Paul mean by proving all things? We can look to Paul's words in the book of Romans to understand what was being proven. Later in the book, Paul writes that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning instead of doing what so many in this world would want to do, we choose to live our life subject to the authority of God. In doing that, our minds are transformed. We think less and less like this world thinks, and we think more and more spiritually. And this process leads us to be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we prove is not in relationship to faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We prove that we live by what God expects us to do. That is what we prove. We avoid sin at all costs, and when we sin, we repent. What we prove that leads to living our life more and more aligned to what God expects of us are things we continue to do, and probably even do more. Those things that we prove lead to sin, we don't do, and we avoid those things at all costs. Earlier in the book, Paul showed that even though there are those who hold the truth in righteousness and do those things which are aligned to what God expects of us, there are those who hold the truth in unrighteousness and do not do what God expects. Paul did not say they hold lies in unrighteousness. He said they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Imagine that. According to the Bible, it is possible to hold the truth in unrighteousness. These are people who, instead of aligning what they do according to what God expects of us as outlined in the Bible, align the Bible to people who are ungodly and unrighteous. Instead of people becoming like what is expected of us in the Bible, these people interpret the Bible to reaffirm ungodly and unrighteous people. People who hold the truth in righteousness and do what is expected of us by God and in the Bible live in the very same world where people who hold the truth in unrighteousness also live. We both see the creation, but those who hold the truth in unrighteousness do not glorify God and are unthankful. Instead of seeing the righteousness of God as something we must first seek along with the kingdom of God, these people who hold the truth in unrighteousness make God after their image and likeness, where eventually nature and the world around us is more important to them than God. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In his first letter, John writes that we are to try the spirits to prove they are of God, because this world has many false prophets. Here John is writing that what people say about the Bible needs to be proven. Faith itself is never proven, but what people say about the Bible needs to be proven because many false prophets are in the world. By proving all things, we establish if before us is the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Through faith, we believe that God exists, that it is impossible to please God without faith, and that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Because we through faith believe that God exists, it is not our place to prove that God exists. Without evidence and through faith, we believe God exists. Science needs proof and evidence through its scientific method. And so in the question of God exists, while through faith, we will always believe God exists. It is up to science to prove what it will about God. Faith is not established with evidence. We can advise science of a few facts presented to us about God. For instance, we know that when the new heaven and new earth are established, it will be a time of no more death. Let's review what is written in Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Bible shows us God exists, if you will, in a dimension we do not understand. We don't know enough about the realm where God exists to definitively call it a dimension, but I will use that term to simplify the explanation. We know in God's dimension, there is no death. People, animals, and plants die all the time in our current dimension, and death occurs at the cellular level throughout life. In God's dimension, there is no death, none. Through faith, we believe that God exists, so for us, we have nothing to prove. If people without faith or science questions the existence of God, it is up to them who have no faith to use the scientific method tied to the dimension in which we live to prove whatever they want to about God, who lives in a dimension that is much different than our dimension. When writing to the Corinthians, Paul showed that God's dimension of immortality is much different than our mortal dimension, and he also advised them to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In his prior letter, Paul also told them that their faith should rest in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Spiritually, we should never be impressed by what a person says about God or anything in the Bible, because it is the same Spirit that brings understanding to all. Beyond that, we shouldn't be duped into thinking we need to use the scientific method, which is based on facts and evidence, to establish faith, which is established in belief without facts and evidence. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Knowing that we are people of faith who need no evidence to believe God exists, what can we do to witness to those who are people of no faith, who seek evidence to prove the existence of God? We make the Word of God easy to understand and available to all who are curious, instead of proving that God exists to people who lack faith, which in a logical argument for them would only lead them to believe that we don't really believe that God exists, because if faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, why would we be trying to prove to them that God exists? Instead, we focus on the message of the Bible and how the Bible and God's calling has changed our life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God, the Bible. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We grow in faith throughout our spiritual life. During his human ministry, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. And Jesus showed that faith is in proportion to what we do spiritually. To have great faith, we must do more than is expected spiritually. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, We have done that which was our duty to do. Having faith does not mean we live a life without troubles. All people have troubles and difficulties in life. It rains on the just and unjust alike. But when challenging situations come to a person of faith, faith uses that challenging situation to establish patience and bring us to perfection. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've shared before, I'm a retired teacher having taught within the special ed continuum my entire career. Even in some of my special education classrooms, I had students who wanted me to prove why something that was taught was true. From a teaching standpoint, teaching something that is true and teaching why something is true are two different topics. If a teacher is tasked with teaching something that is true, they may not have the time to teach why it is true. And if all the allotted time is devoted to why something is true, then the teacher may be unable to teach what is true. Similarly, if Christians are always on defense, proving that God exists, we may never have the time to preach what is in the Bible which will lead to faith and the hope of eternal life for others. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and as people of faith, we must live by faith. We must do what is upright. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. We do not look to any kind of evidence to confirm who we are as people of God. There are some who will look to standards they have established to use as evidence that God is blessing them, but we are not to do that. We pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and meekness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Many men teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envying, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and into snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Peter writes that faith is needed for eternal life, and that faith may require us to experience difficulties in life, and that when those difficulties come, we should embrace them. Jesus Christ lived as a man and died a long time ago. Even though we have not seen Jesus Christ with our own eyes, we believe, we have faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Sometimes the faithful endure extreme hardship and even persecution. The book of Revelation shows that in the end time, many among the faithful will suffer as the dragon makes war with the saints and overcomes them throughout all parts of the world. For the end time, saints, knowing that God will avenge their death, is their patience and faith. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The end-time saints overcome the forces of evil by the blood of Jesus Christ and by what is in the Bible. These are people who have faith, who say what they believe and believe what they say, because it is all based on what is in the Bible. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Faith in the end time is intense, and will cause many to suffer persecution and even death. But nothing we have read about faith in the end time shows a people who are just focused on proving that God exists. Through faith, they already believe that God exists. These are the people who, like Paul, knows that through Jesus Christ, they can do all things. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. As Christians, we are to have faith, and we are to prove all things, but we never have to prove faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, who rewards those who diligently seek him. We do not prove faith, but we do prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God by living our life aligned to what God expects of us. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.